Fridays for these 2 weeks, strategy, our strategy 2021 session with Craig Jennings. Geno, welcome.
Good to be here, Jared. Just listening to all those, all those texts and callbacks, I can tell you at AFL clubs, they're watching this stuff really closely and they're looking for inspiration, and there'll be some great themes that come out of some of these performances that AFL clubs will be using coming into finals.
I had a couple of AFL coaches text me the 10 minutes after Jess Fox did what she did, and pondering how she dealt with the disappointment of 2 days earlier to come up with that performance. And I'll ask Jess about that, because I think the lessons in there are, they're going to be applicable across many a sport, individual, team, no matter what.
The football conversation around that is really important. Like, I saw Sean Darcy on the weekend, runs into open goal, the ball gets smothered, so disappointing, but 30 seconds later he takes a contested mark in the goal square. And that's an example of why you look to these elite Olympic performances for examples of how you can just keep performing and dealing with disappointment. So that's the perfect example, Jared.
Keep pinging your messages through 0433 98 11 16. Geno, I have thought of you across the week because accuracy is nearly the predominant conversation in the league right now. Is the most important stat in footy is accuracy.
Yeah, it was interesting to hear Simon Goodwin speak this week that they're investing more time in their goal kicking. But he said a really interesting thing that we touched on last week, Jared, and that's about, well, where are we taking our shots from? Because clearly the closer you get to goal, accuracy will increase. So there was something in that. Clearly at Melbourne, they've done some research and clearly their shots at goals have been from difficult positions. So I expect this week, if I was planning against Melbourne, what you're looking for is they're going to bring the ball back across to the top of the goal scorer, at least in line with the goals in that sort of, think of a cricket pitch, you know, that 20 metres or 20 yards in front of the goal square. They'll be switching a lot of balls back to the top of the square there. So these are the things that you dig deep into in footy clubs. You don't accept inaccuracy and you're always looking for a solution.
In the early rounds of the season, you said Melbourne were the team to beat. And if you want to win the flag, you had to start to build your strategy to beat the Demons. Mm. And that's the checklist. And the checklist has items on it that Melbourne are clearly now facing repeatedly and grappling with to find their way back towards some level of dominance late in the season.
Yeah, it's a really interesting thing. And think about Test cricket as an example that you might be a great batsman, but if you can't face spin, or if you're not good against spin bowling, then the opposition, what they're going to throw up is a lot of spin against you when you come in at Test level. And that's what Melbourne face. And that's why premiership teams are so revered, because they need to overcome these obstacles and checklists. Every club basically keeps writing these things down, what works. And clearly against Melbourne, they target Salem and target Lever and a few other things that come in with that as well.
So let's delve a little bit here, a sort of high-end strategy of losing clearances and winning the ball back with intercept marking in defence.
Yeah, so think about Richmond, that for a long time in their premiership era, which may not be over yet, of course, they would lose the stoppage, win it back in defence and get a turnover score. So I just want to dig a little bit deeper into that to give you some insights at football clubs. Now, this is deep strategy, but it's still quite simple to understand with a bit of an open mind. So what we hear from the media and from all football coaches are there's three score sources. That is, you score around about 30% of your scores come from stoppage, let's say 65% from turnover and 5% from kick-ins. But what I dig into is in many games, 10 to 20% of your turnover scores come as a direct reflection of exactly how you set up your stoppages. So that's Melbourne. So have a look at the game against Gold Coast this weekend. They might put a forward into a midfield stoppage. And so that allows Melbourne to do whatever they like with that defender. What they'll do is usually concertina, and somebody like Lever will now be a spare player in defence. So Gold Coast, because they've got that extra player at the stoppage, they'll tend to win the clearance more often than not. But let's say they kick it straight back to Melbourne's spare defender in Lever, and then Melbourne kick the ball down the length of the field and kick a goal. That's called a turnover goal, which comes as part of that 65% of scores come from turnover. But what I call that is stoppage plus. And what that means is it's a turnover goal that's a direct reflection of how you set up that stoppage. So for me, there's actually four score sources. Around 30% of your scores come from stoppage, 20% from stoppage plus, 45% from turnover, 5% for kicking. So it's really about the stoppage is not around those just six players that are in that midfield contest. It's actually all 18 players on the field. Now, any turnover score, if you rewind that score back 7 or 10 seconds and it, and the turnover comes from a stoppage beforehand, then that's really a reflection of how you've set up that stoppage deliberately, in a sense. You're not deliberately losing it, but if you do, you're in a great position to score from that direct turnover.
Craig Jennings setting this up for round 20 and beyond, because teams are surely honing what they're going to bring to the finals in these final four rounds of home and away footy. And the big difference between what happens in home and away and finals is contest and pressure.
Yeah, you hear a lot of coaches speak about our game is built for finals. So what we do know about finals is what you're saying there, is the contest and pressure goes up. So let's extrapolate that. And what that increases is what I call long stoppages and long contests. That just means that the ball's more in congestion. It sits on the ground a little bit more. And every time you pick it up, you get tackled. The ball spills, you get tackled, the ball spills. And that creates either a long stoppage or a long contest. So I thought a really easy thing to do is have a look at your team in the next 4 weeks and how they handball out of a stoppage or a contest. And there's three really easy things to look for. The first one is the forward handball from a long contest or a long stoppage. And just simply think about Richmond and how they won their premiership. So it's a really messy look. They'll handball 10, 20 metres forward. They call it bludgeon ball, Jared. It creates momentum, it creates chaos, and it creates territory. And these things are perfectly built for finals. So that's one option for your team. The second option is the backfeed handball. And for that, think about the Western Bulldogs. And Kingy showed some great vision on one of the shows during the week. And what you do is, out of a contest or a stoppage, you feed backwards. And the reason you do that is you're trying to create some time and space as most teams defend the other side of that contest, defend the defensive side. So just watch how the Bulldogs, especially in their forward 50, they keep backfeeding handball and create a forward 50 goal 30 or 40 metres out. And Kingy showed some great stuff. But the risk for this one is, in finals, it's a plan that's or it's a strategy that's very easy to plan for. And you can really set your team up to smash that backfeed handball. You know, you smash the receiver. So it can be pretty risky in finals. But the thing about the Bulldogs is they've perfected that handball game. And the next one is something that's becoming more popular, especially now as we think about the two wingers at stoppages, and one of them will hold a lot of width, 30 or 40 metres from the stoppage. In years gone by, that player would be only 5 to 10 metres from a stoppage. And that's the lateral handball. And what it does is puts the ball out of that congestion, gets it out of traffic. And I call it the express lane. And think of a rugby line out, in a sense. It really builds speed. So you're in a contest, you move the ball 10 metres laterally, it gets it out of congestion, out of density, and then each player lines up and they all receive a handball like a rugby lineup. And what it is, it's very hard to defend all three sides of the stoppage. So usually you can defend the forward side of the stoppage and the back side, but the lateral side can often be open up a little bit more. So just something to look at in the next 4 weeks to see what the preference is for your team.
We always set up Friday night footy, unless, of course, there's Thursday night footy, which there should be every week, but that's another conversation. So we'll take an eye towards Carlton and St Kilda strategically. And I've had a little glimpse at your theme. I'm all in on your theme this week. I love what you've done there. So that's with Craig Jennings coming up next. Craig Jennings, our Strategy 2021 session, Carlton and St Kilda tonight. The Blues are in sharp focus. Their coaching staff has a bit to deal with out of last week heading into tonight. How's your mind wandered on that front?
I must admit, these are my favourite moments, in a sense, in footy clubs, when you're the underdog and how do you create belief that you can win. And the first thing that I guess I would advise, if I was a coach at that football club, is we win this week and it's four wins from our last six games. So there's two teams out there. Someone has to win it. This is how we're going to do it. And so what I would focus on is that defensively, Carlton aren't poor for a whole game. They're just poor in patches. They get run-ons against. So how can we stop the runs of goals against? So if you go to the North Melbourne game last week, they kept North Melbourne at Marvel, which is a fast deck and can create some high scores, to three goals with a minute to go at halftime. It was the third quarter that really let them down. So there's a theory some people will know, and it's called the Hawthorn effect. Now, it's not about Hawthorn Football Club. It's Hawthorn with an E. And it's a theory that people's performances improve when they know they are being measured. So if I'm at Carlton, I'm implementing this for the next 4 weeks, that any time the opposition kick two goals in a row, For the next 5 minutes, we are measuring the individual players' defensive GPS numbers, which we can access live, and how many players we get back in the D50 as the ball crosses the arc. So in defence, you should never be outnumbered, and you should always be a minimum of plus two in your back 50 as the ball crosses the arc. And so what that does for Carlton is absolutely ensures their mids and wingers are racing back on a turnover to help defend. And what you see with Carlton when they get scores against, their midfield and their high forwards start jogging around. And then what I would do is I'd have a scoreboard at the footy club so everyone at the club knows who buys in when it counts. So you're rating the defensive performance, specifically for the five minutes, post the opposition kicking two goals in a row. Yep. And I'm sure from that you'll get an uptick through the Hawthorn effect. You know you're being measured. You know you're being watched. Let's produce.
Oh, I'm going to lose an hour today to the Hawthorn effect. A Western Electric plant in Illinois from the early 1920s.
I don't know where I stumble on this stuff, right, Jared, but right. I picked it up somewhere.
Something a little more recent. So last week's West Coast performance against St Kilda, what can Carlton take from it to implement?
Yes, so I want to talk about forward line setup. So if you have a look at your club's forward 50, now, like everybody else, I'm doing this from TV, but occasionally you get a good behind the goal or a replay that'll show you. And it's limitless, the formations. You get horseshoes, you get lineouts, you get 2-2-2s. But it's not random, or at the best AFL clubs, the way you set up your forward 50 is not those six players in your forward 50. It isn't random. And what West Coast did against St Kilda, I think, is the perfect setup for beating St Kilda. And what it looked like was 3-2-1, which is basically a pyramid or a triangle, which the three players are starting at your centre forward line. And then evenly spaced, you have two players in the middle, and then you have one player at the top of the goal square. So you can go back and see this if you want to have a visual look of it. And what it is the one player forward deep in the goal square, he gets isolated. He's now got some space to move, and he gets some great one-on-one opportunities, which really exploit St Kilda in terms of at times they can be an undersized defence. And then what you get your two layer of forwards racing in, and think of 10 and 2 crummers that everybody that's played the game that we've all been taught. They come into the number one and they apply crumbing pressure and try to stop a goal or stop the ball coming out. And then you have your three layer, the three players, the three forwards up a little bit higher. And what they are is they're set up to protect the corridor and ensure any forward 50 loss can't come through the middle of the ground with speed. And that's critical against a team like St Kilda, who at their best and what we're seeing in their last month, even though they haven't won their last couple of games, they've still played pretty well, is they're electric. They're probably the fastest team in the competition. So if I'm Carlton, I'm going to quarter two of the West Coast game. We always learn from opposition games, setting up the forward line 3-2-1. And it's one of those little things in strategy. We talk about small margins. These things add up. You don't want to see 2-2-2 or a horseshoe or a line out. You want to see a 3-2-1.
And the Saints side of things, these games can be tricky when you come up against the opponent that has been filleted all week.
Yeah, you always, you know, that language around prepare for a team's best. And what I speak about is try and win a game early. So we talk about the fast start, the head start, getting a lead, and you increase your chances of winning. So what you're trying to do against Carlton, if you're St Kilda, is you win it early, make the opposition go sour before they even think they can get a win. What you talk about, Jared, don't let the idea grow that they can win the game. And what St Kilda should think about, they're the fastest attacking team in the competition, and at the moment, they're playing the slowest defensive team in the competition. All right, so you really want to get your players to test that from the opening bounce, play really fast and aggressively. I guess in terms of the fast start, it's just language until you know what it looks like. For St Kilda, what a fast start looks like is their pressure game. And that's the thing in terms of bridging the gap that they talked about mid-year that they've really bought. And it's not negotiable. They need to win the footy first. And it'll be a sharp focus for them because on the weekend, their mid-clearance game and their mid-contest game is usually really good between the arcs. They're really poor against West Coast, lost a lot of territory, made life hard for themselves. And if you have a look at St Kilda and that new standing rule, you'll see every time they get a mark or a free kick, a player really flying past for the handball and gaining that extra 10 or 15 metres. So they're a team that's really adjusted mid-year to exploit that standing rule. That'll be really important to see early. And what they do is use every square metre of the ground until they can free up a running play. So you won't see them kick down the line. You'll see them go lateral, go backwards and sideways and forward, and then really probing so they can get that speed game going. And clearly on the weekend you saw King, and he was launching at the footy early. So what's important about his game? We were just talking about earlier. His first four attempts at marks, he dropped. And the one mark he did take in the first quarter, he fumbled and it fell into his arms. And then he dominated from there on. So that's about staying in the moment when things aren't going right perfectly early, Jared.
Craig Jennings, our McCafe catch-up. New McCafe blend, smooth, rich, and with a hint of sweet berry coffee, fit for an Aussie. ESPN is reporting Aaron Baines will miss the remainder of the Tokyo Olympics after suffering a neck injury. The injury occurred off the court during the second half of the Australian Boomers' win over Italy on Wednesday. So that's not great news for the Boomers. Aaron Baines, according to ESPN, is going to miss the rest of the games. We've got a theme to put around a round 20 fixture in the AFL, and Jess Fox as our Olympic coverage begins at 10. This is Waitley for Red Energy, awarded Canstar's most trusted energy retailer nationally for 2021. That's Red Energy, and shop online today with Hyundai's Click to Buy. Jenno, you put a theme around a game. The 90s retro theme sits heavily over the week, and you've gone to the movies, God bless you.
Yeah, I don't know when retro became the 90s, Jared. I'm not that happy about that.
Worrying.
But if there was Olympics for watching movies, I'm a chance to medal in that competition. So what I've gone with is North Melbourne, their Braveheart. This is Braveheart versus Basic Instinct. So North Melbourne at Braveheart, William Wallace and his clan wore the blue and white stripes, exactly like the North jumper. And what he was great at was defending their territory. This game's played at Hobart, which North Melbourne have a great track record at. They've got the Void versus Vortex End. And what I know about my trip to Scotland and to Hobart, both are cold and windy. And Geelong, their Basic Instinct. So Geelong play a cold-hearted precision game, Jared. But they've perfected the basics and they've perfected their defensive instincts. And like Sharon Stone, they're the ultimate chameleons.
I'd nearly back Catherine Trammell against William Wallace, you know, just how cold-blooded she is in that movie.
I'm a bit nervous about the fact you know her name, Jared.
Braveheart and Basic Instinct. Oh, you have gone the stretch today, Craig Jennings. Well done. So that sets us up for round 20, which begins with Carlton and St Kilda tonight. I'll see you again next Friday morning.
Yeah, can't wait, Jared. Have fun with the Olympics today.